Scotch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
This is our week for fat guys.
Is it? Actually, this week we're going to...
Not for movies. This is the week for the fat guy portion of the show, not the movie portion.
Oh, right, because it's Thanksgiving week.
Yes!
Here at Fat Guys at the Movies and around the world.
Yes.
And this week we've got...
I don't think they really care about the American Thanksgiving in, like, Thailand.
Fair enough. They might. I don't know. Everybody likes turkey. But we're reviewing Old Dogs this week with John Travolta and Robin Williams. That should be interesting. And then we're going to have a big, fat turkey leg smackdown over Ninja Assassin, I feel.
Because sure.
I'm a feeling we're on two sides of Ninja Assassin.
That's right. I'm on the right side. You are on the wrong side.
And this is what you think. And of course, we're going to do Fat Guy 5 this week. Pretty awesome Fat Guy 5.
Yes.
So stay tuned for that. If you're listening to us on the radio, you should go to iTunes and pick up the internet version of Fat Guys at the Movies, which includes the a little more risque third segment.
Yes.
And also, you can get a hold of us, fatguysatthemovies.com. And, also, if you're on iTunes, please review us.
Review us.
If you give, my birthday is in like 2 weeks, so if you would like to give me a birthday present, a review on iTunes would be quite nice.
What's your birthday?
December 5th.
Okay. What's your mother's maiden name?
I'm not telling you.
And your social security number?
Get out of here.
And what was your first pet's name? What hospital were you born in?
You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, or leave us a voicemail, 614-388-8735. The voicemail is working. We've tested
yes.
it.
Yes.
So
and go to Facebook and become a fan. We have some fans on there already.
Facebook.com. Just search Fat Guys at the Movies. You can also get us on Twitter. I'm at twitter.com/rejects. Kevin is twitter.com/KevinCarr.
Yes, and I'm tweeting. I'm still tweeting turkey movies.
Oh, so, are you now?
Yes, and they're. I'm winding up because you know it's Turkey Day week, so I'm going to wind up finishing up the turkey. The ones I have left to do, we have Xanadu, we have Waterworld because I just got that recently on Blu-ray.
Nice.
There's also The Adventures of Pluto Nash, which should be in the mail in the next day or so, and then my favorite, which I'm going to I think save for last, Sorority Babes in the Slime Ball Bowl-O-Rama. And I will also be live tweeting Flash Gordon, the 1980 Flash Gordon, with people like Mel Valentin and Aaron Dean and Stellar Reviews, a bunch of people on Twitter. So join us on Saturday.
It's going
night.
To be like a Twitter party.
It is. It's a massive Twitter party of everybody staying home.
What? All right. What are we doing first? We got. Oh yeah.
I'm just trying to avoid. Let's talk about something else. Let's talk about toenails, so we don't have to talk about Old Dogs.
It's kind of gross.
So's Old Dogs.
Oh, fair enough. Anyway, well, I'll introduce Old Dogs, and then we'll see where the conversation goes from there, I guess. We've got John Travolta and Robin Williams playing business partners who suddenly have to raise two kids, and the hilarity ensues.
You open?
Nah, sorry. The zoo closes at 3.
Yeah, but my kids are in there. They're having a birthday party, and I have to be there because I'm dad.
I can't let anyone in, period.
We did it!
Yeah.
Oh.
We're in the gorilla enclosure.
What?
Don't do it. Stay where you are. Don't look at him in the eyes. Just look away. Okay. If you don't see him, he doesn't see you.
I'm going to give a spoiler here.
Yeah.
The hilarity, in fact, never ensues in this movie. Just to let you know. Now, I've been accused of being a Disney apologist, and this is the movie that proves that I don't like everything that Disney puts out. This was written and directed by the guy who did Wild Hogs, which of course makes me think what movie. I mean, was he involved in Princess and the Frog? I mean, because he's like rhyming every single movie he's got. This is such a grab.
And you know what's frustrating for me? I didn't see this movie, but what's frustrating for me to hear not only you but like everyone I know in the critical world hate Old Dogs was I actually liked Wild Hogs.
I liked Wild Hogs too. That's the thing. I mean, it was stupid, but it had a certain charm to it. But I think
it was John C. McGinley that did it.
John C. McGinley, William H. Macy, and those are the people that really helped it. But The thing with Wild Hogs, the reason Wild Hogs worked is because the cast was great. I mean, Martin Lawrence, I could take him or leave him. And, you know, John Travolta wasn't great, but you had, like, Tim Allen was funny, and like I said, William H. Macy, but you had Ray Liotta and Kevin Durand just stealing the show as the bad guys in it. They had a great cast, and they kind of were all in on the joke, and it worked. This one, there's only John Travolta and Robin Williams kind of carrying it, so you didn't have this ensemble cast that could all just play a really crappy role but kind of take it to the next level. So and John Travolta and Robin Williams, they don't have very good chemistry, and things are really, really forced. Like, we've seen the ad in the trailer, the part in the trailer where they mix up their medication and they have different side effects, and it's like, that's such a forced gag. I mean, they really, really have to work to make that gag happen. And there's a cameo by Bernie Mac in it. That really has no place in the movie. It's like they shot it as going, oh, well, we'll shoot this because we might use it. And then Bernie Mac died, and they're like, oh, crap, we better put this in the movie because he's dead. Oh, it's so bad. It literally.
Did they have to CGI him in?
No. He shot this, I don't know how long ago, obviously before he died. But I'm hoping.
I can tell you when he didn't shoot it.
He did not shoot it after August of 2008. That's for doggone sure. No, but it's just, I mean, Robin Williams blows hot and cold. He does some fantastic work. Lately, his best work has been his darker stuff. Like
World's Greatest
Dad. Like, yeah, and like stuff like 1 Hour Photo and the Final Cut. And I mean, he does a series. He's a fantastic actor. But this has more in common with like RV and Man of the Year in terms of his comedy. And like I said, he doesn't have good chemistry with John Travolta. The story's real random. It's very random, and it really, honestly, did you see Imagine That with Eddie Murphy?
No.
It feels a lot like Imagine That. Not very many people did, so I don't know if that review is going to be lost on a lot of people, because they're going to be like, I didn't see that movie. I wouldn't. I mean, but there's literally a scene that's almost a shot-for-shot remake of a scene from Imagine That. It's not very well done. I mean, I took my kids. They liked it.
Your kids like everything.
They like every a kid. My kids, they didn't like Iron Man, though.
That's because they have similar taste.
Go ahead,
genetic taste issues to you.
All right, I was gonna say just tread carefully because I'll play this for my wife and then she'll come up and tear your.
No,
face
that's
off.
Because they share. They are part of your gene pool, which means that every once in a while they have no idea what's going on in the world of movies. No idea what a good movie is.
Says
as we'll see in the second segment when we talk about Ninja Assassin.
Who loved.
Go ahead, love say guru. It. Go all the way back guru. To, what, 2007?
You love the Love Guru.
Oh, the Love Guru, yeah.
Yes. What was I going to go back to 2007 for?
That's when the Love Guru came out.
I'm pretty sure it came out last year.
Was it a 2008 movie?
It came out like the same summer as
I need
Dark
that
Night.
Movie to go away.
Yes.
I like that. I'm sorry. I like that movie. That movie was funny. I laughed pretty hard. Yeah. Oh, early 2008.
No, it was in the summer, man. Because I missed a screening because I was at the Wally junket.
Oh, June. That's right.
Yes.
God, stupid.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You are stupid. That's right.
So what's the official grade on the old dogs?
Old dogs. Old dog sucks. I'm sorry. Sorry,
sucks.
Disney.
Sucks. All the way sucks. Anyway, in the next segment, we have one movie to slice in half.
Nice.
And that's Ninja Assassin. So when we come back, we're going to talk that out.
Yes.
And we are back here on Fat Guys at the Movies. And now that we've gotten best movie of the week out of the way, Old Dogs, we're moving on to
don't know about that one.
Something else. It's called Ninja Assassin, and it comes to us from the Wachowski brothers and V for Vendetta director James McTeague. It is the story of a rogue ninja who is hunted by more ninjas, resulting in a ninja bloodbath.
Abandoned by your parents, without a home, without people to care for you, you should have died. But instead, you fought. Your entire life has brought you to this moment. Now the time has come for you to prove.
Ah!
So, Kevin?
I thought it was Wicked Cool Ninja Bloodbath.
It was, but I...
You edited that out?
I am sworn to my code of ninjery that I would not... That I'm not able to call this movie Wicked Cool.
What, do you blend into a couch movie, or something? Is that your ninja stealth move?
This movie is not Wicked Cool at all.
Okay.
Now, I will give it this.
What's
they
the problem?
Do, they do give it a certain amount of energy, which I can appreciate. But it's completely ridiculous.
Is it redonkulous?
It is quite redonkulous. Also, the CGI blood really bothered me. I think that's what kind of like started the downward spiral of hate. No, that's where it starts. Okay. The downward spiral of hate when I saw this movie began with the just crazy CGI blood. I actually wrote 2 pages of notes for Ninja Assassin, which is unprecedented because I never...
You mean, you're going off of notes?
Never write notes. Yeah. So, also, a couple things that
is
I didn't
it just,
like
does
about
it just,
this.
Is it like in The Shining where he writes, all Jack, all work and no play, make Jack's it all boy? Just keep writing? Is it just like, CGI blood, CGI blood, CGI blood?
Yeah, pretty much. I wrote CGI blood several times. Also, the CGI blood in this movie, it's gory. Like, this movie is a bloody film.
Yeah.
And the CGI blood, I did not know that blood was neon red. So there's the neon red blood. It is a highly stylized film, and I did not appreciate that touch because if you're going to make a bloody movie, make a bloody movie and use practical effects. This is not a, you know, it felt very Speed Racer to me.
Okay.
You know, it's very much just super glossy. It's just, it's so glossy and so CGI that it completely removes you from ever connecting with these characters. That and Rain is a terrible actor.
Well,
terrible actor.
The movie's named Ninja Assassin. You're not expecting great.
And the script
great.
Is filled with cliches. Usually ninja movies...
It's named
movies,
Ninja Assassin. What do you expect?
That's so? Ninja Assassin sounds badass. This movie's not badass.
It is totally badass.
The dialogue is terrible. The fact that the ninjas, like... It doesn't follow the logic of the world.
It's
set
ninja
in the real
assassin.
World.
You're like...
It's set in the real world. And then you have scenes where, like, ninjas are magic all of a sudden. And they can, like, heal themselves if they concentrate hard enough.
This totally happens.
And then ninjas apparently don't have internal organs, and you can also cut them in half with a sword. And they can cut each other in half. That's not possible. That's ridiculous.
Dude, the name of the movie is Ninja Assassin. It's supposed to be a...
Based on the existence of real ninjas.
Based on the Shakespearean play.
Ninja movie. I wanted to see a real ninja movie that was totally sweet.
It was.
And totally hardcore.
I rarely say this as a film critic, but I'm gonna drop this bomb on you right now. I think you just didn't get it.
I got it.
It's an exploitation movie. That's the whole point. It's a big budget exploitation movie with special effects. And if you go watch these old ninja exploitation movies.
Yeah, but it wasn't campy. Like, it wasn't campy at all. It didn't feel like an exploitation movie because it took itself way too seriously.
Well, the exploitation movies took themselves seriously. That's the whole point.
Not
I mean, it
in
was
the same
just,
way, though.
The ninja exploitation movies were nothing more than an excuse to just have wicked cool ninja fighting for 70% of the movie, and that's the same thing they did here. And I'll give it to you. I don't
also
like...
Since when do ninjas moving through the dark look like the dark demons from Ghost?
Since Ninja Assassin was made, that's what I have to say.
This movie is paving a new way.
Here's the
for
thing,
everybody.
I do not disagree with most of your criticisms. Yes, the dialogue was awful. Yes, Rain is a terrible actor. Yes, it didn't make sense, and it doesn't have any sort of logical explanation.
Stupid exposition.
But that's the kind of movie it was supposed to be. And here's the thing. This is where I'm going to differ with you on the Speed Racer thing. It is exactly what Speed Racer should have been because it was 90 minutes long. Part of the biggest problem with Speed Racer is it was awesome and kind of took you in this surreal world, but it went on for 2.5 hours. If they would have made Speed Racer 90 minutes, it would have been one of the best movies of the summer, and I think they maybe learned their lessons with this one. It was a 90-minute movie. It gets a little long with the backstory of the ninja, but boy, once the fighting started, it's cool. And I don't like CGI blood either. I remember I was complaining
about...
Well,
and I guess... I'm going to let you go off on your happy... I love Ninja Assassin rant okay. here in a second. But let me tell you the ultimate issue with this movie. To me, is it's just, it's all And it's the same thing that, that detractors from Michael Bay films say about Michael Bay films. But this is a real example of a movie that is all style and all gimmick and no substance. I wrote on my, the end of my notes says they might as well have done it in 3D. Like it, they might as well. They, why didn't they just go full out and make it in 3D?
But it's a ninja
and,
movie.
And also, how many towards the end of this movie? I'm not spoiling anything here. Uh-huh. But how many fiery money shots does this movie need?
Oh, dude, that fiery...
There's
that,
like
19 that was awesome.
Different shots of like a character standing in fire.
It was
trying
totally,
to kill it.
Yes,
and the
it
last
was,
fight scene goes on way too long.
Is this from the guy who thought that like Transformers 2 was like manna from heaven and awesomeness in cinema?
That's not
wrapped
true.
Up in nougaty awesome centers.
That's not true. I would urge people to go back to the show where we talk about Transformers 2. I did not think that it was manna from heaven.
Okay.
It was Transformers 2 had.
I believe you said I'd like to have Michael Bay's baby.
To me, Ninja Assassin was just downright annoying.
Well,
an annoying overuse of style.
No, but you know, I thought it would look. That's what the movie was. I don't think anyone was going to see this movie. No one's going to see this movie expecting plot. It's like 2012. People went to see 2012 to see L.A. fall into the ocean and the volcano under Yellowstone explode. Nobody went to go see it to see the human drama between John Cusack's character and Amanda Peet's character. And this movie did exactly what 2012 didn't do, and it said, and what. Incidentally, what Transformers 2 didn't do is it said, well, this story's crappy. We're just going to the whole... It's a standard story. It's a ninja exploitation movie. It's a martial arts exploitation movie, only with a lot of style and some really cool effects, and I appreciate
it. I also feel
that.
Like if you're going to make an R-rated ninja movie, it needs to be... It needs to be way cooler than this. It needs to be... Really bloody. Not cartoony bloody, but really bloody.
Here's the thing. I'm not a big fan of CGI blood, but I can see why they used it in this movie. And this is where I will defend it. There was so much movement and sort of virtual camera and completely impossible moves you can do, and you had to use the computer. So they went for the... And when they like cut people's heads off and parts of their heads off and their legs off...
It looks
off,
ridiculous.
It does look ridiculous, but it
would... I feel like it's like James McTeague saw those really cool scenes in V for Vendetta that he did where V is like going in slow motion and like stuff's missing him. The Matrix ripoff scenes.
Yeah.
And then he's like, wait... I could totally do a whole movie like this.
But that's the point. It's just a big giant action movie. But here's the thing. On CGI Blood, there was when like Wrong Turn 3 was out on DVD last month, I complained about it because I'm like, CGI Blood, but what they do is they like cut somebody's arm off and they'd have a static shot and they'd use CGI Blood. I'm like, well, you can just pump a jet because you already have to have a prosthetic. Just pump some blood through there. But this one, it would have been very difficult to achieve all the special effects they do in Ninja Assassin on a practical level. I'm not happy with the CGI blood. It does look a little fake or a lot fake.
No, it's totally fake.
But I still
enjoy it.
It's
hyper fake.
But see, if you go watch these old ninja movies from like the 70s, the blood looks like red paint. It's the shade of blood that comes out of no living creature on this planet. Yet you can totally believe it and enjoy
I just personally wanted a way cooler movie. I don't think this movie is cool.
It's cool.
Annoying.
The
to
ending
me, it's
is
just
awesome.
Annoying.
The ending is awesome.
No, it's just annoying and just not well
You're annoying out. And you're not well thought out.
You're not. You're dumb. I can't believe we're on the opposite sides of things on this. Usually I like the stupid action movies, and you're criticizing me.
Well,
but
part of this
cannot believe that we fell on different sides of Ninja Assassin. Such an aggressively awful movie.
Well, no, can I offer an explanation? You saw this at Fantastic Fest, right?
Yeah.
So it was one of the early movies. I mean, it was like a big tentpole.
It was like in the middle.
But it was a big deal there. So you were amidst all this, and so that's what you were watching all week.
So I went in expecting a good movie.
I saw this. The last three movies I saw were Precious, New Moon, and Old Dogs. And when I saw this movie, I'm like, I am in love. Because those last three were... You know,
that makes sense because I went in expecting it to be a good movie. You went in just needing a movie.
I needed something. The idea that it had no story and just lots of violence, I was okay with it because it was not like some big fat black girl getting raped by her father or some sparkly vampire movie.
And with that, we need to go to a break. We'll be right back.
miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. One thing we forgot to do, and I don't want to leave our audience hanging because it was so ambiguous.
I'm sure they're hanging off a cliff with their shirkins.
I don't think anybody knows. Yeah, I don't think anyone knows where we're falling on this movie, but we do need to give a grade to Ninja Assassin.
I say totally sucks.
And I say it rocks.
And there you go. You could not. I have a feeling that Team Neil is going to win this week. Team Neil and Team Kevin.
I'm not saying that when I say a movie rocks doesn't mean that it's going to win the box office. I just enjoyed the movie.
No, I feel like we should have t-shirts for our listeners that are Team Neil and Team Kevin.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's just
absolutely
great.
Cheerleader outfits with it on the back written. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, I totally just forgot what we were talking about. Mid-sentence.
Speaking of teams and people and
right.
picking sides, should we talk about the box office last week?
Stupid Twilight movie.
What the hell happened there?
So remember when we were like guesstimating that Twilight would make like seven? I was like, 70 million sounds about right.
Yeah.
It doubled that.
Oh, it was obscene. And this is a
$42 million.
I seriously thought when the actuals would come out that it'd be slightly less, like $130 million. And the reason for that is because the early returns when Summit was reporting like $90 million on its opening day, mm-hmm. and then when the actuals came in for that, it was like 70.
Yeah,
they were like over reporting it by like something like $15 million.
They're like, oh my god, we made $1 billion in the first day.
Yeah, and then I'm like, maybe they're just going to inflate it. And then I said to my wife, who loves the Twilight movies anyways, I said, well, I have a feeling that there were teenage girls just going and seeing this movie like Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, or like going and seeing it all day on Saturday. I would not be surprised with the level of fandom on this movie because, I mean, they're insane. Mm-hmm. What the hell?
Yeah.
And I even gave the movie a mild, you know, a backhanded positive review.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I was surprised at how well it did.
Twilight finished number one, $142 million, almost $143 million. It set the Friday box office record, Friday opening box office record, with $72 million. And The Blind Side, actually, I was very surprised by The Blind Side at $34 million. That's a great weekend.
Well, especially when there's another movie that sucked $140 million out of
right,
the economy.
Right. And also, Planet 51 opens pretty strong with $12 million.
Yeah, that's depressing.
That's, you know, that's interesting to me, I guess.
This was this last week. Well, you know what it was? This would be my guess on why some of these other movies did well, is that there were parents that were going to the theater and the other people just went to see other movies.
Yeah.
You know, because they were like, oh, well, I'll take your younger brother to go see Planet 51 while you guys go cream yourself in Twilight and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So, you know.
But, you know, here's the thing.
I'm interested to see what happens next week with Twilight.
I think it'll still win. I really do think it's still
going to
win.
You think it's going to win the Thanksgiving weekend?
Yeah, because, well, it's got Ninja Assassin and Old Dog. Those are the two.
I think Ninja Assassin will probably cap out at about $30 million for the five-day take Wednesday.
Ninja Assassin, I think, will do okay. I think Old Dogs isn't, though, because.
Yeah. Old Dogs is not going to do well.
I just don't get that feel for it. But also, and Fantastic Mr. Fox is opening, which is going to give it a big competition in terms of the kid market.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think, I don't think either of them are going to do tremendously well, just because I don't think there's too much of a quirkiness to Fantastic Mr. Fox to really capture the huge mainstream
crowd. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if Fantastic Mr. Fox ends up second at the box office.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, you're right.
You know,
I think
if it goes Twilight, Fantastic Mr. Fox, then Ninja Assassin, and the Blind Side kind of a toss up.
Yeah, I do think Twilight's going to win. Let's look at it this way. It could drop 80% and it still would make like $30 million.
Yeah.
If you look at it in terms of a percent drop, it could have record setting drop, which it won't, but it could, and it's still going to make a lot of money.
I really think that people is still underestimating it, maybe.
Yeah. You know? Well, I thought it would be really front loaded, but it was. I mean, it made half its money its first day.
Yeah.
But it had really good staying power over the weekend. And the thing is, what it has going against it is traditionally the weekend of Thanksgiving is not a big weekend for movies.
Mm-hmm.
Most people are out shopping.
Right.
So
we'll see. I don't know.
I'm more interested to see what happens to the series going forward, because the next movie wrapped, but it comes out in the summer. So it's like we got like, it's right. Like what, 6 months, 7 months until it comes out?
And then Eclipse comes out. Yeah, and that's an interesting one because it's directed by David Slade, who did 30 Days of Night. And I've heard stories of a lot of the actors not necessarily liking him because they said that they didn't sign up to make a horror movie, and he's making it more of a horror movie, which actually might make the film better, but I think it might not do as well.
I've also heard that from some other people that the action does pick up a little bit more in the third movie. It's less because it's less of the, I mean, there's still teenage angst and weepiness and that sort of thing, but there's less of that. And I've heard that New Moon is the worst of the four books that. Right. I haven't read them. Mm-hmm. But what I'm really interested to see what happens, this is my prediction. My prediction is Robert Pattinson's going to implode. Because, and it's going to happen around March. It's going to be when his movie Remember Me comes out and bombs and nobody goes to see it. Because I don't think, nobody cares about Robert Pattinson. They care about Edward Cullen. He just happens to play him.
Right.
And I think he's going to make this.
They care about sparkly boys, and he doesn't really sparkle in real life.
Yeah, he's not going to sparkle in this movie. And it's going to bomb, and nobody's going to see it. And he's going to get pissed off because he's like wants to be taken seriously as an actor. And he's already come out and made grumblings about crazy fans and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for him to alienate the audience. And I'm wondering if, and I'll just sit there and watch. I'll just be like, this is wonderful. I love watching. He gets on all the covers of magazines and then he's going to freak. He'll pull a David Duchovny, what he did with X-Files. So,
yeah.
And then we'll see if he actually, because then supposedly he's like, you know, dating Kristen Stewart. And if they ever break up, that's going to be a real problem in shooting the last movie.
Right. So. Well, they're supposed to be splitting the last book into two movies.
Is that true?
This is a rumor.
Is it a joke rumor? Because
no, it's like a real rumor.
Okay. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they did, because they're going to burn through these movies in another year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And Summit has nothing. I mean, nothing else. The only other movie that did well that Summit has released in the last year or two has been sort of The Hurt Locker.
Mm-hmm.
But really, that's it. I mean, they don't. Everything else is bombed.
Yeah.
I mean, not just didn't do well, but like was off the map bomb. Mm-hmm. So anyways, I'm tired of talking about.
Anyway, moving on to the, I think it's time to do the Fat Guy 5. Do you have any news on Fat Guy's second reel this week? Are we doing one of those?
We're not doing one this week. There will be one after Thanksgiving, wrapping up the turkeys. I'll be talking with some of the other turkey fans out there. So we'll have that, and you can listen to that. But yeah, second reel is not going to be an every week thing. So
I was just curious.
But we will welcome some new guests, and you'll hear some new voices.
Awesome!
It'll be fun.
I like new guests and voices. You know why?
Because yes. You don't have to. Do
I don't have to do anything. That's always
you're
fun.
Like, look at this all work on its own.
Yeah. So anywho, moving on to our Fat Guy 5 of the week.
Yes.
Martial artists we'd hire to protect us from ninja assassins, because I'm going to need this. Because after what I've said about ninja assassin, I have a feeling that Rain, the pop star, is going to come and try and kick my ass.
I think that he's more inclined to protect Naomi Harris, who's totally wicked cool hot.
She's okay.
Oh, she's
no Zoe Saldana.
I could do with the Zoe Saldana Naomi Harris sandwich.
I think that Zoe Saldana is a blue.
I'd be the cream in the middle of that Oreo, baby.
I think Zoe Saldana is a 10-foot tall blue cat person in Avatar is hotter than Naomi Harris.
Oh, Naomi Harris is totally hot.
Anyway.
She was in 28 Days Later, wasn't she?
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, she's so hot.
Anyway, so moving on.
We'll start
in our Ninja Assassin Bodyguards list with Snake Eyes from G.I. Joe.
Yes.
Because he's awesome. Yeah, I don't know if you saw G.I. Joe, but then he's like the best part of that movie.
He does like magic, doesn't he? He like disappears.
No. Yeah, he's just hardcore ninja. Wears thick rubber suit. He's like the Batman of ninjas. So
okay. I thought Batman was the Batman of ninjas.
Batman's not really a ninja.
He's ninja trained.
Batman's a knight. He's a dark knight.
What did the Queen of England? Did the hair? I know.
Anyway,
my choice, and this is in honor of Turkey Day week, is Lee Van Cleef, the Master from Master Ninja. For those of you who are fans of Mystery Science Theater 3000. Mm-hmm. You probably caught this on Turkey Day back in the 90s. There was a failed TV show that they packaged together and showed on MST3K, and it was an old, fat Lee Van Cleef as a ninja. And completely ridiculous, but somehow he was good.
Nice. I'm going to then go with Tony Jaa from The Protector. Jaa. So I don't know if you have seen The Protector, but there's that scene where he fights the huge guy. Plural, several huge guys.
Yeah.
And he ultimately kicks their asses.
Of course.
And that, to me, is what I would want. And so he's got the dedication necessary to protect me from ninjas.
Only to protect elephants, though.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is Fat Guys, the movies. Close enough.
That's right.
So, all right, moving on.
My next choice would be, because if you're going to have a ninja, you can't just limit it to the human race. I am going to say Po from Kung Fu Panda. Mm-hmm. Although not a true ninja, the wooshy finger hold would just blow everybody up.
Mm-hmm.
Skadoosh.
Yeah. I actually like that movie.
I did too. I thought it would absolutely suck. I even wrote an article on Film School Rejects about how it was going to be one of the movies that would suck ass.
Right.
Over the summer, and it was one of my favorite movies of the year. I loved it.
Right. It actually is one of the very few great DreamWorks animation, like quality film, almost Pixar-esque.
Yeah.
But, and then, of course, they're doing that How to Train Your Dragon movie, which looks terrible.
Yeah, let's not talk about that right now.
Anyway, moving on. The last one is, I almost wanted it to be a tie between Jackie Chan from Legend of Drunken Master, because I would need someone to get drunk with after he kicks the crap out of the ninja assassins, or Chris Farley. In Beverly Hills Ninja, because I think he would fail and I would end up dead, but at least I would laugh on my way to the grave.
It would be a fun time getting killed.
Right, it would be a very entertaining time getting killed. So those are those are two of my favorite comedic ninjas of all time, or martial artists. They're not really ninjas.
Well, you could take both Jackie Chan and Jet Li from the Forbidden Kingdom.
Oh, yeah, they were pretty good in that.
Because he did use his Drunken Master moves.
True. Although the original Drunken Master is far better than...
I've got that on Blu-ray. I got to watch that.
Oh, great movie.
Yes.
Anyway, so there you have it. Also, I wanted to mention this week, Fantastic Mr. Fox opens wide this week.
Yes.
Go see that thing. It's a really good movie.
That's the best one of the week.
Easily the best movie of the week. Yeah. So, on the other side of this break, we were going to wrap you up. We're going to talk about DVDs and do all that stuff and get you out of here for Thanksgiving.
Word.
And we are wrapping you up here on Fat Guys in the Movies, and we're going to be sending you off to eat a bunch of turkey this weekend.
And stuffing. What are you going to have for Thanksgiving dinner, do you know?
I'm not really sure. We're going, the lady and I are heading to Washington, D.C.
The lady.
And to some people, I guess we're going to somebody's house I've never met before. Oh. So I don't know. I'm sure turkey. I mean, who doesn't eat turkey?
There's people
on Thanksgiving.
Who don't. People like have ham.
Maybe some ham. Yeah. Ham's good. I'll eat whatever. I am the, I'm the eat whatever guy.
You're going to eat pie? I'm going to eat pie.
Of course I'll eat pie. If there's pie available, I'll eat pie.
I'm making shoe fly pie. I'm making sweet potato pie. I made some pumpkin pie. And I might make an apple pie. I'm gonna pie out, man.
I'm actually mostly excited about, we're going to Washington, D.C. We're going to DuPont Circle, which is a neighborhood in Washington, D.C. And there's a bagel shop in DuPont, which has the most amazing bagels in the history of the world.
I'm excited
because this whole weekend, every morning, I get to go have bagels because where we're staying is right next to it. So that's going to be great.
Going and hanging out with the lady doesn't excite you, but the chance of eating bagels, you could get bagels and you can have leftover turkey on the bagels.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, so that'll be great. All right, back on to...
this is what you get when you listen to a show, Fat Guys in the Movies. You start talking food, and there you go.
Yeah, I think, and I don't think we talk about food enough Fat Guys in the Movies. Anywho, time to move on to the world-famous DVD Roundup. This is kind of getting you in ready for Black Friday, which is on Friday. I don't miss working in retail for Black Friday. Although it was always the most fun part of working in retail.
I don't leave the house. You liked working Black Friday?
I loved working Black Friday. Oh. It was good because it's just, you get some very interesting, there's always a good story to come out of a Black Friday when you work at a major retail outlet.
See, so. I don't leave the house. I left like
last
year.
Oh, I would never go shopping on Black Friday.
Well, I don't leave the house. Last year, I had a TV appearance on Black Friday, but it was like 7:45, so I was, and it wasn't near a shopping mall. And I went and got donuts like at 5 in the morning. And that's it. And then I stayed home, and we put up our Christmas tree. That is how we do Black Friday in our house.
Fair enough.
So
cool. Well, anyway, so the starting with my picks here for the DVD roundup, we got Gomorrah, the Criterion edition of Gomorrah. This is the Italian kind of gangster movie that has been compared to The Godfather many times.
The Gomorrah.
I'm very
Father.
Excited to pick it up on Criterion Blu-ray. I've heard it's fantastic.
Awesome.
And then I've also got Funny People. Funny People, I was going to leave Funny People off of my recommendations list until I got my hands on the Blu-ray and saw the ridiculous amount of special features that are on it that really do enhance the viewing experience, make it a better movie.
Have you downloaded?
Because there's just so much funny stuff.
Have you downloaded Pocket Blue yet to use that as an app?
Still have not downloaded
it. Oh, you should do it. It's cool, man. And I think I just
got two weeks into reviewing Blu-rays from Universal that have the feature.
It's a cool feature.
Also got Four Christmases, which is a movie that I really enjoyed last year when it came out in theaters. Mm-hmm. And almost a year to the date, it is coming out on the old DVD.
Well,
and it's a very funny movie. It's directed by Seth Gordon, who did
Lady and the Tramp.
No, King of Kong.
The Ringer.
Fistful of Quarters.
Oh, okay.
And it's also got a very cool cameo from Steve Wiebe.
Yes.
The Donkey Kong player.
Yeah.
So, and Kristen Chenoweth, who's
hot. Yes. Oh, she's totally hot.
All right, that's all I have to say. Your turn.
These are the ones that are new this week. First of all, since it's Thanksgiving week, you can actually start talking Christmas time. And so Santa Buddies, I got to mention that one. This is balancing off the fact that I didn't like Old Dogs. But no, this is a cute series
so
for kids.
So you continue to shill the Disney?
Well, no, this is a cute movie for kids. Although it was funny, I did show it. And it has there's a little pathetic little Yorkie dog that sings a song in it. I think my wife threw up in her mouth during the movie because it is so cheesy. But I mean, my kids love it. They love this. The Buddies movies are great for kids. And there's also for kids Shorts. Did you like Shorts? Did you even see Shorts?
I did. I watched a little bit of it the other day, and you know what? It's okay.
It's a Robert Rodriguez kids movie. It's Spy Kids 3 or Sharkboy and Lava Girl. It connects to kids. My kids loved it. It's goofy. It's really not
it's
great
another
for
Robert Rodriguez going to the well movie so that he can get money to make Machete.
Yeah, but I mean it's good enough, and my kids loved it. And there's also Angels and Demons, which I enjoyed. You didn't
super
like it
boring.
That much. I loved it.
It has an extended edition on the Blu-ray that's twice as boring.
Really? Oh, yes. I'm sort of sad. I didn't get a review copy of that. I would have liked to have
it.
They
should have sent one to you. You would have given them a good review.
Yeah,
I
would
crapped
have.
All over that movie.
Well, here's my. These are some older ones that have already released, but I want to give them for a Black Friday suggestion because there's a bunch of great stuff that have come out over the last couple weeks, and there's some incredible box sets that go online and buy them or go to the. You got Drawn Together, the complete series. Have you seen that? It's an animated show, but it comes in a box set with all three seasons and a board game, and it has a drinking game on the DVD. It's actually quite amazing. It's pretty intricate. You can spend a weekend watching this stuff. There's also the Justice League Unlimited, the whole series. It's all three or four seasons of it on a box set. It's like 19 discs. It's an incredible box set because it has tons of special features on it, and it talks about the character. There's also the old Zorro TV show. Walt Disney always drops these Walt Disney Treasures collections.
Right.
It's the old Zorro TV show. So those are three I wanted to kind of give a note to. And then the stinker is National Lampoon's RoboDoc because it stars Alan Thicke and David Faustino, and that's the sign of the apocalypse.
Nice. All right, wrapping up our reviews, we had Old Dogs, which sucked, and then Ninja Assassin, which we totally disagreed on. I say totally sucks, and Kevin said totally rocks.
Rocks.
Next week, we'll be here for Armored Brothers, Everybody's Fine, and Transylvania. In the meantime, get us over at fatguysinthemovies.com and enjoy your turkey.
Word to your mother.